For he is good. His mercy endures forever. Amen. I've already indicated we're hearing from Psalm 100 this evening. This is how that psalm reads. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The word of our God, a brief prayer. Lord God, as we gather on this eve of yet another Thanksgiving, I begin with a personal word. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for these people. I thank you for the warm welcome that they've given me as I've served in the interim between pastors. And I thank you for giving me this honor and privilege of serving you and speaking for you this night. And Lord, as we offer words of thanksgiving, I thank you for the faith that you've put into the hearts of these who have gathered, the faith that's moved them to come out on a cold, wintry, dark evening to bring honor and praise and thanksgiving to you and your name. And certainly as we begin, we know the number one reason we're thankful: Jesus, our Savior, the faith we have in him, the forgiveness that he offers to us by his grace. Oh, dear Jesus, thank you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Fellow thankful people of the Lord, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We know why we're here. We come out on a Wednesday night in November, and it's cold and dark. We know why we're here. It's Thanksgiving. And we know what to give thanks for. Almost everything. As you and I think about all the things we're thankful for, we thank our God for house and home. We thank our God for spouse and children and grandchildren. We thank our God for food and drink. And as we think about all the things to be thankful for, if we started enumerating them, if we started making a list, it will go on and on. Just think about food. We can thank our God for apples and asparagus. We thank our God for brownies and butter. We thank our God for carrots and cupcakes. We thank our God for donuts and Doritos. We thank our God for eclairs and eggs. And we thank our God for fish and French fries and on and on. Now, if we started, again, continuing on in that list, think about, ponder all the stuff our God has given us, stuff that fills our barns and bins, our garages and attics, our cupboards and our closets, our basements, and maybe we have so much stuff we need to rent one of those storage bins someplace. All that our God has given us. Now, sometimes when I think about stuff, I think back to years ago when I introduced a Thanksgiving sermon with talking about stuff. Maybe I've told this story in a Bible class somewhere. When you think about stuff, think about your life. When you ponder stuff, think about when you graduated perhaps from high school or college and you started out life on your own. When you moved into your first abode, maybe it was a one-room rooming house kind of little place, and all the stuff you had, you could fit into your trunk or the back seat of your car. But you didn't stay living there, did you? You moved out of that little one-room, a little apartment rooming house into a bigger two-bedroom apartment. Why? Because you have more stuff. You moved out of that little apartment, maybe into a bigger apartment or a townhouse. Why? more stuff. You moved out of that apartment, two bedrooms, because you needed that little starter house, that little ranch house. No more renting that little ranch house. Had that one-car garage, a good place to put your stuff. Oh, then had an attic, too, for stuff. Didn't stay there, did you? Moved into a bigger house that had a basement, maybe a two-car garage because of your stuff. And maybe that next house not only had that two garage, it had that basement, it had that attic, had that storage space, had that nice big shed in back for stuff. And when all that stuff got full, you had garage sales to get rid of some of your stuff, or you rented one of those little places someplace to put some of your stuff. Our God has given us so much, hasn't he? With all of his blessings, all of his goodness to us. But as we ponder what our God has given us, as we think about things to be thankful for, we've made the theme of this message to thank God for tough times, to thank God when difficulties and troubles and pain come our way. We know those tough times, don't we? Sometimes it's us, me or you, or it's a loved one who's sick or hurting, or maybe we're hurting because the olive crop fails, or the no sheep in the stall, like Habakkuk said. Or there's just challenges financially, or challenges with our family, or challenges in life, challenges on the job, challenges with the boss, challenges with our teacher, and on go kinds of things that bring troubles and difficulties. And this night, we want to thank God for the tough times. Because you and I, as we think about those tough times that come, our God allows them to come. He even sends them at times because he's trying to compel us, move us, motivate us, sometimes maybe even push us back to him. Because Christian people like us too often can leave the Lord in the dust, leave the Lord behind, not on purpose. We just kind of get too busy. We forget about him. But when some trouble comes, then we remember him. We remember his word. We remember to pray. We turn to our Savior God. Now, as I stand here this evening, I want us to also think about our altar today. As we think about Psalm 100, as we think about the altar and all that the Lord has given us, our beautiful, magnificent altar highlights a lot of different things. It highlights, if I look up there, I see pumpkins and apples and grapes and gourds. I see the beautiful flowers on the Lord's altar as we think about his creation, even the beautiful spray from the funeral that was yesterday. But you know what we're most thankful for that's on the Lord's altar? I'm going to walk up there. Nothing over here. Nothing in the middle. It's this. And you look at the Thanksgiving altar here at Trinity, this open Bible. Why are we so thankful for the open Bible? It's a reminder to us to have our Bibles open and thankful that our God has given us his word. We are thankful that that open Bible reminds us not only to read it and study it and chew on it, but also to share it, tell it, live it. And I wanted to stand up here also because this Bible that you never see back there is open. The Psalm 100. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Those words from Psalm 100. As we ponder that psalm, as we think about the things that our Savior has told us, those hard times, think about the very first Thanksgiving. You know, back when the pilgrims landed at Pilgrim Rock, if I have the story correct, they got here to New England, and what happened? They didn't know the climate, they didn't know the ground, they didn't know anything, and they planted their crops. That first year that they landed, those pilgrims, the story goes that after a year, half died. Half died of those original pilgrims. But what did they do that first fall after they lost half of the people? They worshiped God and had a Thanksgiving service. They thanked God even for those tough, hard times. As we think about Thanksgiving, I'm also reminded of Abraham Lincoln. Why do we have this fourth Thursday in November? It's because Abraham Lincoln decided and decreed it in 1863. 1863 happened to be the worst and bloodiest year ever of the Civil War, and this is what Lincoln said. The Union has survived. Let us observe a day of thanksgiving. As you and I think about why to give thanks, think about some of the words that start out the psalm. It reminds us to shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Shout for the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord. Now, we know why someone shouts, don't we? You go to an athletic contest, you go to a football game, why do people stand and cheer and shout? Those fans stand and cheer and shout because something good has happened, something great has happened. And why are we here this night? Singing with all that we're worth to our Savior God, because we're shouting for joy. There's just joy in our hearts because we have that faith, we have that forgiveness. No matter what comes our way, no one and nothing can take our Savior away from us, and we are beyond thankful for Jesus. To shout for joy, all the earth. To worship the Lord with gladness. I love that word, worship. It reminds us, it has at its root the word worth. Our God is worth it. Our God is worthy. To worship the Lord our God with gladness. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. When I stood here at the beginning and reminded you, man, it's just my joy, my delight, the pinnacle and climax of my week to be here in front of God's people, to come and worship the Lord with gladness, to come before him with joyful songs. Implied there in that verb come reminds us that we are going someplace. We leave our homes and we come to his house. And we gather with fellow Christians who join us in worship, who join us in prayers, who join us in song, who join us in worship. And it's not just this one time a year in November at Thanksgiving. All year long, we have the great privilege of being guests in the house of our God. And we come here not just as guests, we come here as family. We come here as sons and daughters of the King. We come here as children of God. All year long, God's Holy Spirit lives in here. That one who at baptism brought us to faith and kept us in the faith and strengthens our faith, he's the reason we have reason to come joyfully to sing for him. The psalmist goes on to tell us and remind us, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He owns us. Our Lord, our God, owns us. Why do I say he owns us? Because he paid for us, not with gold or silver. He paid for us with his life blood on a cross. And that one who died on a cross rose again that third day to remind us, to guarantee for us that the payment for our sins made. All this church year, we'll be here giving thanks and praise to our God. We are going to enter his courts with thanksgiving, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. We're going to give thanks to him and praise his name. Why again? For the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Ponder all the good things he does for you, all the good things he does for me daily, weekly, always, often. And he does those good things for us in spite of knowing me and in spite of knowing you. When we look back since the last Thanksgiving, can't calculate how many sins I committed, how many iniquities, transgressions you committed, and yet in love, forgiven. Still loves me, still the same, even calls me by my name. You know, as I think about thanking our God for the tough times, I was thinking about a story that a brother pastor told. He told the story about how he came to a new church, and he was visiting his shut-ins, and this one shut-in he went to visit was not only homebound, this shut-in was wheelchair-bound. There in that wheelchair, she had no use of her arms, no use of her legs. every reason to complain, moan, whine. And then they had a little conversation this pastor did with this homebound woman who had no abilities. They started talking about, would you rather be one of those unbelievers who can go anywhere and do anything? What do you think she said? I'd rather be in this chair with my Savior in my heart. Thank our God even for those tough times. There was a woman who loved her Lord with all her heart. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts indeed with praise. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Tonight, tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day, as we observe another Thanksgiving, there's much, much, much to be grateful for, much to be thankful for, because no one and nothing can take our faith in Jesus away. We know our God, and our God knows us. Thank our God. Thank your God for your faith in him, for the forgiveness he won for you. And when times are tough, when the olive crop fails and there's no cattle in the stalls, like Habakkuk said, yet I will rejoice in God my Savior. As we have our faith in Jesus, permit me to read the entire Psalm 100 one final time in closing. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen.